Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva the Verve!
Well, this morning, we are going to be talking about pictures. We've already heard a song about photographs. We've seen some pictures of some strange cats. And you know, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, and I think I believe it. Today we're starting this brand new series called The Jesus You Never Knew, in which we're going to look at some snapshots from Jesus' life. And today we're going to look at the scene from Jesus' life where he is baptized. And I thought that we would just talk about baptism in general because people have a lot of questions about it. And so we're looking at Jesus' baptism. We'll talk about baptism in general. And you know, last week we saw this video, and it was pictures of people getting baptized here at Verve. So far, we've had 99 people get baptized here at Verve. And I wanted to show you that. You can clap for that, sure. But I wanted to show you that video again because I love the faces of those people. And I just wanted you to see those pictures of baptism again. So check this out.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our.
Today we're going to look at the picture in the Bible of Jesus getting baptized, and we're going to talk about baptism in general, which is kind of a weird topic for us, because at Verve, we don't typically talk about religious-y kind of stuff. You know, we talk about how our everyday lives, what we do and deal with every day, intersect with God and faith and culture, and so this is kind of a weird topic, but I thought it would be good, because people have so many questions about baptism, and they have so many opinions about baptism, so I thought, since we're looking at Jesus' baptism, let's kind of just talk about baptism in general, and I don't have as much time to share as many words as I want to about it, so I thought what I would do is share some pictures of baptism. Because, you know, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. So here we go. The first picture the Bible gives us of baptism is of a death and resurrection. You know, in the Bible, we're told that God wants us to have faith, to believe in and trust his son Jesus. Okay. And we're told that God wants us to confess, to admit that we've sinned and when we mess up to him. Yeah, okay. And God tells us that he wants us to be dunked underwater. Okay, it's just weird, right? It's like, why get dunked underwater? Well, the picture is of a person being buried and then raised to a new life. Let me show you this in the Bible in Romans chapter 6. If you brought a Bible today, we're going to be in Romans chapter 6 quite a bit. You can turn there. If you don't have a Bible, you're totally fine. We'll put the verses on the screen. And If you don't own one, we give them out for free at the Velcro Bar. We'd love to give you one today. So in Romans 6, we see this picture of baptism as someone dying to their old life and then being raised up to a new life. Look at Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. It says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Did I skip verse 3? Let's do that again. Verse 3 says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So the idea is, just as Jesus lived, and then Jesus died, and then Jesus rose from the grave to a new life, God wants us to have that same kind of experience. You know, we've all lived lives that are pretty selfish and pretty self-centered and honestly pretty sinful. And so what God is asking us to do is to die to that old life and to start a new life with him. And that's the picture we get in baptism, is of a person being buried underwater as if in a grave and then raised out as if to a new life. And in this new life that we get, the Bible tells us that we are now empowered by God to live it. That God's presence moves in and lives inside of us. It's called the Holy Spirit. And it empowers us to live life like we could never live it before, because God is working through us now. And so it really is a new life. And let me ask you this. If you've never been baptized, isn't there something inside of you, and I bet it's been in there for as long as you can remember, that wants to put some closure on the life that you've been living, that wants to put some things behind you and to kind of start again, to get a second chance at life, and to have God living that life with and through? Isn't there something inside of you that longs for that? The second picture we get is of a wedding ceremony. In the Bible book of Ephesians, chapter 5, there's this passage that discusses marriage. And so it's talking about marriage, and then it talks about how husbands should love their wives in the same way that Jesus loved the church. And then in the middle of this discussion of marriage, there's this reference to baptism. It talks about how Jesus made the church holy. It says, "Holy, cleansing her by the washing with water." That's verse 26 in Ephesians 5. And so it just all of a sudden, in the middle of this discussion of marriage, throws in this idea of baptism. You know, in a wedding ceremony, two people become united. Back in January of 1992, I met my wife. She was just somebody then. She wasn't my wife. But we worked together at a movie theater. She sold the tickets. I tore them in half. It was obvious we were meant to be together. And so I met her, and I liked her. She seemed pretty cool, and we were kind of friends. And then after a while of knowing her, I decided that I liked her. And so we started dating. And so now we moved into kind of a new kind of relationship where we're dating each other. But then after a while, we decided that we wanted to make this relationship official and forever. And so on July 30th, 1994, we went through this ceremony. And you know, if you were there, like, we didn't look any different before or after the ceremony. I don't think we really felt different before or after the ceremony. But there was something different after that ceremony. Because in that ceremony, we made our relationship official. You know, we cemented our relationship. It became official and forever. You know, and it's the same with baptism. In those verses we just looked at in Romans 6, they're talking about baptism and how in baptism we're baptized into Jesus' death and then his resurrection. Well, look at the very next verse, verse 5. We'll put it on the screen. It says, "If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." And so it says that there is a uniting that happens in baptism. You know, Jen and I, my wife and I, we had a relationship before we got married. You know, we were friends and we were dating. We loved each other before we got married. But it wasn't until we got married that that relationship became official and forever, that we kind of united ourselves to each other and became one. And in the same way, in baptism, it's kind of like a wedding ceremony where the two become one. You and God officially cement and unite yourself in a relationship. That's a really important thing, I think, because it gives you something to look back on. You know, in a relationship between two people, like a dating relationship, it's kind of easy to keep your eyes out for maybe like a better option, right? Because you're just dating, you know, and it's easy to just walk away from that relationship because, well, you're just dating. But when you get married, when you go through this ceremony, something happens. You know, you can still cheat. You could still walk away, but it's a lot more complicated now, right? Because you declared that this relationship is official and forever. You've been united in that ceremony. And it's similar with God. It's very interesting in the Bible. Whenever we see people being tempted to kind of walk away from God, tempted to sin, the instruction that they're given is, remember your baptism. Isn't that interesting? That when people are tempted to walk away from God, what they're told in the Bible is, remember that you were baptized. And the idea is, man, you made your relationship official. You and God, you're not just friends anymore. You're not just dating anymore. You cemented that relationship in baptism. You became united. And so, you know, you can't walk out on this. It'd be kind of like if you were counseling your friend and you found out that your friend was thinking about going and meeting with some other woman. You'd say, dude, you can't go meet with that woman. You're married. You know, you're not dating anymore. Do you remember the church building, the pastor, the rings, the vows? You took vows, man. You said this was forever. You can't just go off and date somebody else. And in the same way, when people are tempted to go away from God, they're told, remember your baptism. The context of this passage in Romans 6 is that the people, the Romans that are being written to, they were kind of had this philosophy. They were like, wait a second. So if God forgives all of our sin, why not just sin more? You know, I mean, we're Christians now, and so we're told that God forgives all our sin, so let's go nuts. Praise the Lord and pass the Cuervo, you know. Let's go party because we're going to be forgiven for it, right? And so let's look at the response to that in verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, we're just continuing down the same passage. He says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him. It was killed when? Well, let's remember, this whole entire chapter is about baptism. It was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. And you can kind of read the verses that precede and that go after, and the idea is, no. You just don't go back to your old life because you were baptized. You can't look around for better options anymore. You don't cheat on God anymore because you're baptized. You went through that ceremony where you were united in that relationship. Don't you remember that event you went through? And so the second picture of baptism is of a wedding ceremony. Let me ask you this. If you've never been baptized, isn't there something inside of you that longs to take your relationship with God to the next level? You may have a relationship with God. You may believe. You may be friends with him. You may even kind of be in like this dating phase. But isn't there something inside of you that says, man, I want to be forever. I want God to know I want to be united with him in this relationship. And I want it to be forever. The second picture of baptism is of a wedding ceremony. The third picture of baptism is of a spiritual bath. A spiritual bath. One time in my church in Virginia Beach, we had some baptisms, and we went to lunch with one of the ladies who got baptized. And so we're sitting eating when her daughter, trying to understand what her mother just did, said, Mom, what is baptism? And so her mother thought about it for a second, and she said, well, you know how when we get dirty, we take a bath? Her daughter said, yeah. She said, well, it's kind of like that because our souls are dirty because we sin. And so baptism is kind of like a bath for our souls. Her daughter said, Mommy, how do our souls dry? And her quick-thinking father said, they air dry. That's pretty good. But you know, her explanation was not too bad. On several occasions, the Bible associates baptism with a cleansing from that which dirties our soul, sin. And the Bible tells us that in baptism, our sins are washed away. Like in the New Testament book of Acts, the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2 gives a sermon. And he explains to people, you've sinned against God, and Jesus came and he died for you. And the people want to know, well, what do we do? And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we'll put it on the screen. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. Later, in the book of Acts, there's this man named Ananias. And he's sent to by God with a message for this guy named Paul, who had just become a believer in Jesus 2 or 3 days earlier. And we read that message in Acts 22, verse 16 on the screen. He says, and now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Now, this addresses something I often hear. When, like, we're going to have a baptism service or something, some people will come up to me and they'll start talking about it. They're like, yeah, man, I thought about doing it, but I'm not ready yet. And then they say this. They say, I just think I need to clean up my act first. You know, there's just some things I need to stop doing before I make that commitment. And when someone says that, what it shows is just a lack of understanding. See, you don't get baptized because you've cleaned up your life. You get baptized to clean up your life. Baptism isn't for perfect people. It's part of God's process for perfecting people. In fact, check this out. In the Bible, we have thousands, literally thousands of examples of people getting baptized. And every single one of those people get baptized, except for one, get baptized on the very first day that they hear about and put their faith in Jesus. All but one. Now, did those people have a chance to clean up their act first? Obviously not. Did they have a chance to put some things behind them? No, they did not. You know, they heard, they woke up, they're, you know, this normal person, never even heard Jesus, and they hear about Jesus that day, put their faith in him, and get baptized that same day. The only exception is that guy, Paul, who's forced to wait 3 days, even though he doesn't want to. He has to wait for somebody to come and baptize him. And that's fine that they did it on the same day, because baptism isn't something you do after you've cleaned up your life. It's something you do to clean up your life. There's a true story about Sam Houston. He's the guy who the city of Houston was named after. And he reached this point in his life where he decided to put his faith in Jesus. And he asked the minister of his church to baptize him. So they went out in a river. His minister baptizes Sam Houston. And when he comes out of the water, he says, Sam, your sins have been washed away. And Sam Houston looked at his minister and said, God help the fish. Pretty funny. The third picture of baptism is of a spiritual bath. And I'll ask you this, if you've never been baptized, isn't there something deep inside of you that longs for that kind of cleansing? To know that in God's sight, you're clean. To know that you have been made right with God, that you don't have sin in your life that stands between you and him because it's been washed away. So, three pictures of baptism. The first picture is of a death and resurrection. The second is of a wedding ceremony. And the third is of a spiritual bath. And those pictures say a lot, I think. But maybe you still have questions. And so let me just to some of the really common questions that people ask about baptism. First question people ask. So does baptism save you? Answer, no. No, God saves you through Jesus. The Bible puts it this way, we'll put it on the screen, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. The word grace means to get the opposite of what you deserve. And so this passage is saying that nothing you do or could ever do would merit your salvation, would merit God coming into your life and saving you, including baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. Being saved is just a gift of God. It's something you don't deserve, but in his unconditional, audacious love, God wants to offer you as a gift. And all you can do with a gift is just accept it. Baptism is part of accepting the gift. Baptism is one of the things we do to accept the gift, but it's not something we do to earn the gift. You know, like that passage we saw in Acts chapter 2, where Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And people hear that and they get confused because baptism is so closely associated with this idea of having your sins removed, of being saved. And so they're like, well, it sounds like baptism is what saves you, but it's not. God saves you through Jesus. All you can do is accept the gift, and being baptized is a part of accepting that gift. Second question. A lot of people ask, how much water? How much water? Because, you know, I've seen there's some churches in this world that, like, sprinkle you. You know, they sprinkle a little bit of water on your head or pour a little water on your head. And then there are other churches like Verve, like we saw in that video, where they fully immerse you underwater. And so how much water? And why is there this difference between churches? Here's why. There are some churches and some denominations that base what they believe and what they teach on the Bible and on human tradition, on what humans have kind of come up with since the Bible. There are other churches and other denominations like ours that do their very best to say, well, let's just go on the Bible alone. We're going to base all of our understanding and teaching on our very best studied understanding of what the Bible teaches. And so with a question like this, like, you know, how do you baptize someone? We would discount any traditions that have arisen since the Bible and do our best just to do what the Bible says. And if you do that, here's what you'll find. First, the New Testament, the Bible is written in Greek. And the word we have in our Bibles, baptized or baptism, is from the Greek word baptizo. It's transliterated from the Greek word baptizo. The Greek word baptizo means to dunk, immerse, or drown. It's the most violent word in the Greek language for pushing somebody underwater, okay? Now, there is a word in the Greek language for sprinkle. It's the Greek word reino, and it's used in the New Testament, okay? Like, there's a place in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament where it talks about priests sprinkling blood on the altar. Ew. But it says that it uses the word reino. They sprinkled it, and the word is reino. So if God meant for baptism to be a sprinkling of water, he could have used the word reino, but he didn't. He used the word baptizo, which means to dunk, immerse, or drown. The second thing that kind of teaches us from the Bible is the examples we have in the Bible. So, for instance, after Jesus was baptized, we read in Matthew 3:16, put on the screen, it says, he went up out of the water. And so we see to get baptized, he was in water. And then in Acts chapter 8, a Christian named Philip baptizes this Ethiopian guy. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 39, when they came up out of the water. And so the examples we have in the Bible show people going into and then coming out of water. And then third, we have the meaning of baptism. You know, back in Romans 6, we already saw, and then again and again in the New Testament, like in Colossians 2:12, where the Bible says, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him. And so we see this idea, which we've already talked about, that baptism is supposed to be a burial and a resurrection. So not only do we have the meaning of the word and the examples of the Bible, we also have the symbolism of what baptism is. It's a death, burial, and resurrection. And so this question, and how much water? Is it a sprinkling or is it an immersion? Well, you have to choose. You have to make the choice. What are you going to base your decisions on? But if you choose to base your decisions on the Bible alone, not the Bible plus human decisions and tradition, then it's very clear that in the Bible, baptism is always and only by immersion. Now, this leads into another kind of debated question. Is baptism just for, like, adults, or is it also, for little kids and, like, babies? Again, the issue here is what forms your opinion? You know, what is going to form your opinion? Is it the Bible alone, or is it the Bible plus what's happened since? In the Bible, baptism is always and only for someone who is old enough to have heard about Jesus, decided that they believe and put their faith in Jesus and what he did for them on the cross, making their own personal decision that they want to be baptized into him. It's actually not until the 4th century AD, so some 400 years after Jesus and after the Bible, that the first practice of infant baptism starts to happen. But again, at Verve, we don't look at what happened after the Bible. We just try to base our teachings on our best understanding of the Bible. And so we would only baptize someone who's old enough to put their faith in and make that decision on their own. And really, when you think about it, it only makes sense that God would do it this way. I mean, it's just impossible for an infant to do what you're doing in baptism. So like in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, it's teaching about baptism. And it says in baptism that we are making the pledge of a good conscience toward God. Well, an infant can't pledge to God, you know, kind of like taking vows in a marriage ceremony. They can't say, I'm pledging my life to you. They just can't do that, you know, because they don't understand sin, right? But you need to understand sin to get baptized, right? But a baby or an infant or even like a 4 or 5-year-old doesn't understand sin. I know this guy, he's a pastor, a friend of mine, and he was talking about this idea, and he told about this time that he and his wife bought new carpet for their house. His wife had been waiting for years to buy new carpet for their house, very excited. Well, when they buy this new carpet, they had a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old. Bad idea. And so they sit their 3 kids down, and they give them the 10 commandments of the new carpet. Thou shalt not, you know, walk with muddy shoes on the carpet. Thou shalt not eat on the carpet. Thou shalt not drink on the carpet, for if you do, you will surely die. You know, kind of the 10 commandments of the carpet. Well, within 24 hours of their carpet being put in, their 2-year-old son, Aiden, had poured milk on and peed on the carpet. And their 4-year-old son, Gray, had thrown up on and pooped on the carpet. And his dad took 4-year-old Gray to the side. He said, Gray, I don't understand. You've been potty trained for 1.5 years. What were you thinking? And I love this 4-year-old's answer. He said, Dad, I don't know. I just got so confused. It's like, are you a dog? Did you feel like you need to mark your territory? What's going on here? But, you know, kids just don't understand sin. They don't understand what it means to violate the holy nature of a holy God. But you need to understand sin to get baptized, right? Kids don't also, they don't understand metaphor, right? Kids can't understand metaphor. That same dad was driving down the road one day with his son, Gray, listening to the radio, when from the back seat, Gray asked, Dad, how do you get to Funky Town? It's like, it's a metaphor, kid, you know, but kids don't understand metaphor. Everything's very literal to them, but you need to understand metaphor to understand baptism, because it is a metaphor. It's a picture of a death and resurrection. It's a picture of a wedding ceremony. It's a picture of a spiritual bath. So I guess just to summarize and make it very clear, if you are old enough to have heard and understood about Jesus and what he did for you on the cross, and if you believe, you've put your trust in Jesus, we think you should get baptized, even if you already were as an infant. Now, I cannot tell you what to do. You know, your decisions are between you and God. But if you were christened as a baby, if you were sprinkled as a baby, you were not baptized. Okay, that's just not baptism. Now, what happened there in that moment, that may have been very meaningful. You know, your parents, in that moment, they were expressing their desire for you to grow up putting your faith in God and his son Jesus. That's a good wish that your parents had for your life. And perhaps having you christened as a baby, perhaps that helped your parents to focus and to make their decision that they were going to raise you to believe in Jesus. But still, it wasn't baptism, and it wasn't your decision. It was your parents' decision. And if you choose today, if you choose in the future to get baptized, you're not going against what your parents did. You're actually fulfilling the wish that they had for your life when they had you christened when you were a baby. And what they wanted for you, you're now choosing for yourself. Now, some of you were baptized a little older. You weren't a baby. Maybe you were, I don't know, 8 or 10 or 12 years old, and it was your choice. But really, looking back, you did it because maybe in your church you had to take this class. And at the end of the class, all the kids in the class got baptized. Or maybe you did it because all your friends were deciding to get baptized and you thought, well, I'm not going to let all my friends do it, and I'm not going to do it. And so all your friends kind of did it together, and maybe you were all standing there, like, getting ready to get baptized, arguing over, like, no, you go first. I don't want to go first. You have to go first. And so, like, you're playing rock, paper, scissors over who has to get baptized first. And so maybe you look back at that and you think, man, I understood what was going on in that moment. I understood what I was doing, but I didn't do it for the right reasons. I did it because that's what you were supposed to do when you took the class. I did it because all my friends were, and I thought I should too. You know, and so it was your decision, but you weren't really making a decision to die to your old life and to be raised up to a new life with Jesus. You weren't really making a decision to kind of enter into this almost marriage with God where you wanted to unite yourself with Him forever. You weren't making a decision to take this spiritual bath, asking God to just wash away your sins. Maybe it was a step in your spiritual journey. Maybe for you it was even an important step in your spiritual journey. But if you did it for the wrong reasons, it wasn't really baptism. And if that's the case for you, well, maybe you do need to be baptized again, attaching the right meaning to what you're doing. While we're talking about getting baptized again, here's a question I get a lot of people asking me. They say, here's the deal, Vince. For me, like when I got baptized, it was for the right reasons. I mean, I remember it. I remember why I did it. I did it because I wanted to have that relationship with God. But since, I just haven't lived it, man. I've had some time in my life where I've really strayed from God. Man, I just did not live it at all. And so should I get baptized again? Well, I can't make that decision for you either. That's also between you and God. But here's what I would tell you. I would tell you that if you did it for the right reasons, you attached the right meaning to what you were doing, you don't need to do it again. You don't need to do it again. It's kind of like, you know, if I look back at my life as a husband, and I realize I have not been the husband that I wanted to be, that I should be, I would not say to my wife, we need to go back and get married again. I would just say, man, I need to be a better husband. Right? And so if you did it for the right reasons and with the right meaning, but you haven't done what you should have done since, we'll just start really living your life with God, and we'd love to help you do that here. Okay, last question. And I really don't like this question. But another question people ask sometimes is, what if a person refuses? What if a person just doesn't do it? They just don't want to. I don't like this question because I just don't understand it. Yeah, and honestly, I guess I don't know the answer to this question. I can't answer it, really, because the Bible doesn't give an answer to this question. And I do my best, man. I work hard to give answers that are not my opinion, but answers I can point to and say, here's where the Bible says what I'm saying. But I can't do that with this question because there was no such thing in the entire Bible as a person who believed in Jesus but refused to get baptized. That never happened. And so there's no teaching, there's no response to that question in the Bible. There was no such thing in the entire Bible as a person who considered themselves a Christian but had never been immersed in water into Christ. There was no such thing. And so the Bible provides no answer for that question. And so I don't know. I do know Jesus said, put on the screen, Mark 16:16. He said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, which does make baptism seem to be a very important part of this process. However, he did not, in the next sentence, say, whoever believes and is not baptized, because if he did, I could tell you, here's the answer, and I could point to it in the Bible. But he doesn't say that. And so I don't know the answer to this question. But the question itself, it just doesn't compute with me. My question is, why wouldn't a person who believes get baptized? I mean, if you don't believe, then obviously you shouldn't get baptized. But why wouldn't someone who believes want to follow Jesus' instruction, because he taught people to get baptized? Why would someone want to say no to the one that they have put their faith in? Why wouldn't someone want to follow Jesus' example? Because Jesus himself was baptized, which is the last picture of baptism I want to give you from Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. And we'll put those on the screen as well. But here's Jesus getting baptized. It says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. In this series, we're talking about the Jesus you never knew. And maybe you know some stuff about Jesus, but you didn't know that Jesus himself was baptized. And you know, when you think about it, Jesus could have easily said, I don't need that. Everybody else is getting baptized, but I don't need that. He could have said, I don't need that because when I was 8 days old, my parents consecrated me in the temple, and so I don't need to be baptized. Or he could have said, man, my entire life, I've been a good boy. I've been a good person, and so I don't need to be baptized. Or he could have said, growing up, I went to synagogue every single week. I've always been there, and so I don't need to be baptized. Or he could have said, man, I'm 30 years old. It would be embarrassing at this point in my life to get baptized. But he didn't. Jesus waded out into the water where it was about waist deep. And he allowed this guy, John the Baptist, to lower him underwater. And when he came up, the Son of God's hair was all wet and matted to his face. He had wet clothes that were clinging awkwardly to his body. He had to kind of try to trudge out of this muddy river. Jesus was baptized. And then God speaks, as we saw, out loud from heaven for everyone to hear. And he says, this is my son, whom I love. And with him, I am well pleased. Here's a good question. Why was Jesus baptized? Why was Jesus baptized? I don't think it was to identify with himself. I don't think he did it to identify with his own death and resurrection. It doesn't really make sense. And I don't think it was because he wanted to unite himself with himself. You know, unite yourself with God, but he was God. That doesn't make sense. I don't think it was because he needed spiritual cleansing. He never sinned. He didn't need spiritual cleansing. I think the reason that Jesus was baptized, in the words of the Bible, from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, put on the screen, to leave you an example that you should follow in his steps. And I guess that's the question. If you've never been baptized, will you follow in his steps? If you've never been baptized, isn't there something inside of you that longs to have that death to your old life and this resurrection to a new life? If you've never been baptized, isn't there something inside of you that wants to make your relationship with God united and official and forever? If you've never been baptized, isn't there something inside of you that just wants to be cleansed and to have your sins washed away and to know that you are right with God? And so, will you follow in Jesus' steps? Will you take this action that causes God to sit up in heaven and say, that's my boy, that is my girl, and I am well pleased? Will you do this? I'll tell you this, that video we saw earlier, I love those pictures of people getting baptized. You know, all kinds of people, people just like you and me, people who are not perfect, people who never knew about Jesus, people who grew up in church, but it was always about religion for them, not relationship, people who maybe were christened as babies, but now they're making their own choice, people who just realize, I can't pretend to be self-reliant anymore. I need to give control of my life over to God and really live life with him, people who never stepped foot in church before Verve, people who grew up in church and knew the Bible backwards and forwards, but had never done what the Bible said about baptism. People whose lives were still really messy, but they were just going to trust God with their mess. People who were excited. People who were scared. People who were full of joy. People who were nervous. People who are grateful. People who had maybe just begun to get this first taste of the unconditional love of God and the audacious transforming grace that he offers us. People who realized, I need Jesus. And people who will never be alone again. I love those pictures in that video. And I just wonder this. The next time we show one of those videos and we see new faces, new people going underwater, coming out, big smiles, maybe your face needs to be one of the pictures in that video. Maybe you need to do this. Maybe for some of you, you're ready. And today is your day. There's this verse in the Bible. It's one of the few verses that actually appears several different times in the Bible. And the verse says, today is the day of salvation. A couple times God wants to make sure you know that today is the day of salvation. And the idea is, when it's something this important, why would you wait for tomorrow? The right day to make your decision is today. And so we're doing baptisms today. We're going to do baptisms after this service, so about 15, 20 minutes from now. We're going to do baptisms after the second service. And maybe some of you need to say, I wasn't planning on it, but I'm going to do it. You could go home and get changed and come back in a bathing suit and a t-shirt with a towel. Or you might say, I don't want to wait 2 hours till after the next service. I'm going to go out there right now. And you might be thinking about that and thinking, man, but I don't have clothes for it. I mean, I just have this one set of clothes. Yes, so did Jesus. You might think, well, I'd go home all wet. So did Jesus. We actually have a towel for you. Jesus probably didn't have a towel. And so maybe for you it's like, I don't want to wait. I'm going to come back. I'll be here at 12:45 and I'm going to do it then. Or you know what? I'm going to do it right now. Today is my day of salvation. And I want to accept Jesus in my life. I want to put my trust in him. And man, I want to die to my old life and start this new life with God, empowered by him. And I want to tell God, I'm not dating you. I'm with you forever. And I want my sins washed away so I can be clean and made right with you, God. Maybe today's your day. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a couple minutes just to think about that and pray about that. And if you pray, to maybe make that decision. The band's going to do 2 songs, so 7 or 8 minutes we're going to give you, and you can sing or you can just sit there and pray and say, holy cow, it's today. I did not come thinking this, but is today my day? And maybe it is. During this song, we also have communion available. If you'd like to take that, it's a piece of bread and a cup of juice, and they represent Jesus' body and blood, and it's just this tangible way for us to remember this is only possible because Jesus gave his life for us. You know, us giving our life to Jesus, like in baptism, is a very appropriate response when he gave up his life for us. And so in communion, we take the bread and juice and we just remember what he did. It represents his body and blood. And we eat and drink to thank him for what he did and to recommit our lives to him. And so we'll do these 2 songs and then Jake's going to come up and close the service. And then after the service, if you want to do it, go back to the Velcro bar and say, hey, I'll be back at 12:45. Put your name down, I'm doing this, or say, I'm going to do it like right now. Like, and so 5 minutes after service, we've got at least one person getting baptized after this service. And so everybody's welcome to come back and just kind of watch and celebrate with us. And we've got 3 or 4 after second service, and maybe you need to be one of those too. So I'm going to pray. Band's going to do a couple songs. Man, talk to God, listen to God, and maybe it's your day. Let's pray. God, I love that video. I love seeing all those people who have given their lives to you. People just like us, you know, people who came in here maybe cynical and doubtful, people who came in not understanding, but in this place, they've realized that they are loved by you. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you that no matter how messed up we are, no matter where we've gone, no matter what we've done, it doesn't matter. You still love us and you still make this grace offer. It's the opposite of what we deserve, but it's what we need. And it's what will change our lives. God, I pray that every single one of us in this room comes to a place where we just throw our lives with abandon into your arms. God, maybe some of us did not come here today thinking, this is going to be the day I give my life to Christ and get baptized, but maybe that's exactly what this needs to be. Maybe today is the day of salvation. God, if there are people in this room who need to make that decision, who need to stop putting it off, who need to realize, what am I waiting for? I do believe, and I want to live my life with God. He lived his life for me. God, would you just speak into our hearts and let us know that this is our day? God, thanks for what you're doing in this place. We pray you continue to do it. And we thank you most of all that Jesus gave his life for us on the cross. Thanks for communion as a tangible reminder of that and of your great love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.